From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, open lines. Here's what's happening. Some news breaking out of Iraq. They say that ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is at death's door after being poisoned by a mysterious assassin in Iraq. Three other senior jihadists were also affected by the toxin. The four have reportedly been rushed for treatment to a secret location. We'll follow up on that. The FBI possessed more gun-related background checks this September than any other time on record. Nearly 2 million checks were conducted through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System last month. The first and only face-off between vice presidential candidates Tim Kaine and Mike Pence quickly dissolved into a verbal battle to defend their running mates' characters, reputations, and foreign policies. Both candidates accused the other of running an insult-driven campaign, and they also clashed on immigration, criminal justice, Social Security, taxes, and Russian aggression. Here's iHeartRadio's reporter Joe Gomez, who's been following the reports, the presidential campaign, and now the vice presidential campaign. They say that Pence won, but not by much. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think that Senator Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's running mate, came across as very aggressive in the first 30 minutes of the debate. He kept on trying to interrupt Pence, also tried to get Mike Pence to defend a lot of the controversies that have been swirling around Donald Trump, but Pence did not take the bait. He seemed very calm, cool, and collected. That might be because Pence has a history in radio. He used to have a talk show, the Mike Pence Show. But he looked directly into the camera, ignored a lot of the attacks from Kaine, and seemed to be the person that came across, in my opinion, a bit more level-headed, at least on TV. So I would say that, yeah, I think Pence probably had the better night, and I think the Trump ticket could definitely use the good news after a week's worth of bad press.
I've been getting emails tonight, Joe, that people are saying that the vice presidential candidates conducted themselves better and more presidential than the presidential candidates.
Well, I think a lot of people were speculating that might happen. You know, what was interesting is the level of civility that Tim Kaine and Mike Pence actually shared on stage. At one point towards the end of the debate, Mike Pence actually said that he deeply respected Tim Kaine. And Tim Kaine said the same thing about Mike Pence. I don't think, call me skeptical, or you know, I don't think that we're going to see that ever happen during a debate with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But who knows? It might down the road.
We shall see. Joe, thank you. Thanks for your coverage, too. Now, Sunday, October 9th, will be the second presidential debate at Washington University in St. Louis. We'll see what happens there. Now, producer Tom Danheiser conducted his own unscientific poll because we were talking today about how many people don't even know who the vice presidential candidates are. Listen.
I wanted to ask you who our vice presidential candidates are.
No, I don't actually. sort of. I really haven't been following that closely, to be honest.
Oh, my God. You know I don't. I know Trump and Hillary Clinton, and I don't know the vice president.
Yeah, it's Kaine and Abel. No.
So tell me, who are the vice presidential candidates?
Oh, Mike Pence and I just went blank on the other guy.
Vice? No, I don't.
No. Some guy named Pence? I don't know. I don't know who the other one is.
So do you know who our vice presidential candidates are?
No, I don't keep up with politics.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I have no idea.
So maybe tonight's debate helped a little bit for name recognition, but you do your own poll and go ask your friends who are the VP presidential candidates, where are they from, what are their titles, what offices have they held, do they hold. You'll be surprised at how many do not get the answer right. Tom, when you were conducting this, were you shocked by this?
George, amazing. I got to tell you, it's just like people don't care. Like there's no interest. It's amazing.
You know, and they're great listeners. They're very intelligent people. You're right. It's almost like it's just Trump or Hillary or Trump. And the other two,
Nobody knows.
I'm not
who
saying
they are.
Everybody, but from the sample that I took, and that was not everybody that I spoke to. There were some that just wouldn't give me permission to put their voice on the air.
Right.
But it just seemed like they had other things to do.
It is. Now, you know, when Sarah Palin was John McCain's running mate, everybody knew who she was.
Well, that came
out
of the blue,
female,
yeah.
They knew her name and everything. But this one's different. This really is.
Very much so. So it was, yeah, it was shocking to say the least.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Good job. Anyone who stayed up late listening to our program or got up early anticipating an October surprise from WikiLeaks heard no bombshells from the organization's founder in the overnight appearance via video. Julian Assange, who was originally planning to make an announcement from the balcony of the embassy that he is in, the Ecuadorian embassy in London, he's lived there for 5 years, instead has appeared via video link at a Berlin conference commemorating the leaked email clearinghouse's 10-year anniversary. Now, all day during the day, the media thought, oh, this is going to be a major October surprise. He's going to slam Hillary Clinton. Howard Bloom? Nothing happened.
The big surprises didn't happen. The anticipation has been building for 2 years. It's been building ever since Kim.com, who is wanted for money laundering. He's the founder of MegaUpload. Julian Assange, who you know is the head of WikiLeaks. Edward Snowden, the great American leaker. And Glenn Greenwald, who was the chronicler of Edward Snowden, got together as the all-stars of the Internet Freedom Movement. And then .com, Kim.com, tweeted that he was going to be Hillary's worst nightmare. He corrected it. He said that it was Julian Assange who was going to be Hillary's worst nightmare and that Julian has information. And then Roger Stone, who is a he calls himself a political hitman. He works as a consultant for Donald Trump, said he had actually been in communication with Assange, and he said, this is 2 months ago, there was going to be an October surprise, and he hinted that it might relate to a tranche of documents pertaining to the Clinton Foundation. So we've had this buildup of an expectation, then nothing happened, but you have to be careful, George, because the shoe may not have dropped, but Julian Assange made it clear that there are other shoes coming, 10 other shoes, that every week for the next 10 weeks, he's going to be dropping new information. He's implying that this is going to include information about Hillary Clinton, but he says it's going to include three governments he's going to embarrass. It's going to include war, oil, Google, mass surveillance, and the U.S. election. So we shall see if there is indeed another shoe and a really big one about to drop.
All right, Howard, thanks. Unbelievable. Yahoo has secretly scanned customer emails for U.S. intelligence sources. The company compiled, with a classified U.S. government demand, scanning hundreds of millions of Yahoo email accounts at the behest of the National Security Agency or the FBI. And it said that three former employees and a fourth person apprised of the events were the ones who came forward with that. Well, they were sent into orbit to measure the Earth's invisible magnetic field, but a cluster of scientific satellites have been suffering mysterious blackouts as they circle the planet. Scientists were left puzzled about why three satellites launched by the European Space Agency have regularly lost their navigation signal when passing over the equator above the Atlantic Ocean. Now they believe that they may have uncovered the underlying cause of the strange loss in the GPS signal that helps control these satellites. Thunderstorms high in the ionosphere. They're very shocked about that. Nearly three-quarters of Americans don't trust that there is a large scientific consensus among climate scientists on human behavior being the cause of climate change, according to a new study. And Hurricane Matthew, now a Category 4 storm, made landfall in western Haiti tonight with wind speeds reaching 140 miles an hour. Small towns and villages in the poorest country out there in the hemisphere braced for life-threatening winds, rains, and storm surges. Climatologist Dr. Tim Ball with us. Tim, this seems like a very long hurricane. It just doesn't go away.
Well, it's a long track, that's for sure. And, of course, what's getting it all the tension is that we've been 7 years now without a hurricane coming ashore in the United States. And that's in the face of all of the predictions about with global warming, there would be a lot more hurricanes. And so this one's getting particularly close attention. One of the things people need to know is that we now, because it's crossed Haiti, we've got some surface measurements of wind speed. But normally the wind speed is measured by aircraft flying through the top, and then they estimate the speed at the ground. And those are almost always overestimates. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what finally happens by the time that Matthew gets up off the coast of the United States, and whether it actually even touches the shore or just goes along the coastline. The amount of chances of it going inland are determined by the cold air that's now pushing out of Canada and down into the eastern United States, and that will determine the track and how much effect it will actually have along the coast of the U.S.
Thanks, Tim. I've got to be in New Orleans in a week at a JFK conference. And let's hope that's gone, huh? Goodbye, Matthew. Fears of creepy clowns have been spotted in several states across the United States, and they have led one Connecticut school district to ban kids from dressing in the costume for Halloween. New Haven Public Schools will prohibit clown costumes and any symbols of terror as Halloween approaches. The move comes after authorities were investigating an Instagram account that posted clown photos along with threatening messages there. And they're taking this very seriously. Francis Bacon, he lived from 1561 to 1626. Did he see the future? And what else did he see? Up next, Stephen Quayle with that story and so much more next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, one of our favorites, Stephen Quayle, back with us, author of so many great books, including Breathe No Evil. He has been articulating the need to be prepared against bioterrorism and also all kinds of issues that have affected us. He's a great researcher. He's got a new DVD out called The Unholy Sea. Welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle. Hey, Stephen, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, George, because, again, it's a privilege to be on, and it seems like as you and I are on the radio periodically together, I mean, obviously you're on every night, but the point is tonight we're dealing with both maybe Armageddon as well as Amerageddon. And, you know, you opened up, and we'll get to that maybe in the second hour, but one of the things that's fascinating, our new DVD, True Legends, the series, The Unholy Sea, starts in Peru, which is called the Navel of the World. And Francis Bacon, which a lot of people believe was actually the man who wrote all of Shakespeare's works, but going beyond that point, talked about all of the advanced electronic and scientific devices that would be in the future in the last years of his life. Some people say it was 1626, 1627. But what's fascinating, George, and this is what people have got to understand, is he was talking about everything from deep underground facilities, skyscrapers a mile high, wind and water turbines, everything from electrical devices, genetic labs, lasers, powerful telescopes, everything that we're dealing with right now, from flying machines, submarines, and holographic projections, he was in possession of. And the question in his book, New Atlantis, how did he get those? Well, as you know, we started our world, if you will, tour of antiquity and ancient inventions mm-hmm. and the giants in Peru. It's fascinating because Peru is, if you will, one of the areas in the world where all the legends of giants, the giant bones, and advanced technology meet together. After the last show you and I did together, I don't know, months ago, I got an email from a gentleman who said his great-grandfather escorted Hitler into Peru. We know he obviously went to Brazil, right, you know, Argentina, but mm-hmm. what's the specialty about Peru? And it's fascinating because the Unholy Sea, we're documenting the alien connection, and what's fascinating even now is that we had the C-130 pilot on who first appeared on your show back in 2007, I think, and we've got him on film talking about the giants, and I know Lynn Marzulli has also gotten corroborating evidence on that. But where we're at right now is we're dealing with soft disclosure, and the Vatican's attempt right now to control the narrative. I know you probably had Tom Horn on in the past, mm-hmm. but what's the most astonishing thing that I know tonight is that when Tim Alberino, the director of the Unholy See, was in Rome, he had the chance to meet with Zacharias Sitchin, one of his billionaire friends, one of the most famous Italian billionaires. And Tim and our camera crew got him on record as saying that even Zacharias Sitchin talked about the time an Anunnaki showed up on his bed. Anunnaki in his world, a fallen angel in mine.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were interviewing all the different people in Rome and interviewing them in Sardinia and Malta, the most mind-blowing thing that is present is the fact that the Lucifer telescope on Mount Graham was referred to literally by these insiders as looking for the return of Lucifer, kind of like Childhood's End, which Netflix played. And this is unfolding right now as you and I are talking.
And back to Bacon too, Stephen, for a second. I mean, what gave him this prophetic ability?
Well, may I just read this real quick paragraph?
Sure.
It says something. And this we do also. This is Francis Bacon talking. We have consultation which of the inventions and experiences which we have discovered shall be published and which not, and take all an oath of secrecy for the concealing of those which we think fit to keep secret, though some of those we do reveal, sometimes to Satan, some not. It was similar to what Dr. von Braun and Dr. Obertroff said about how the Nazis were so able to advance quickly, and they said they had help from outsiders. They had help from aliens. So what's fascinating is Bacon started out in Peru, and Peru is one of the depositories, and it has one of the largest underground tunnel systems in the world called the Chincana. And as we've been documenting this in our DVDs, and really important for people to understand, those underground tunnels went worldwide. So in the time of his writing, and obviously he was talking about the New Atlantis, which he never finished, it was all of the technological and scientific marvels of Atlantis that evidently some of the Atlanteans went to Peru, and obviously we're seeing now the opening up of so much advanced technology as the stargates open. So the stargates in Peru, the presence of stargates all over the world, the spiral, for instance, the Norway spiral, we're in the desert southwest interviewing Native Americans. They're all talking about the same thing, George, and it's that the giants are coming back. It's fascinating. You wouldn't expect that to be coming out of the Native Americans, and we document that in the Unholy See. And by the way, because we're in real time now, this is a live broadcast, people can go on Vimeo and download it around the world. That saves them having to pay expensive shipping and postage,
sure,
and waiting. And downloading. They can have unlimited reviews. They can watch it like Netflix. So Francis Bacon was part of a secret society. And whether you call it the Egyptian Brotherhood, a lot of the Masonic and the secret societies are based on advanced knowledge, which they take oaths of secrecy to. The same thing that Hitler's SS, and the SS means a dark sun, not what most people believe it to mean. So the brotherhood of the occult, the word occult meaning hidden, goes deep into the Peruvian underground. And what is most important is that one of the most famous Peruvian archaeologists, explorers, absolutely established the Chincana, which the tunnel system, and in Cusco, Peru, the Coricancha, which is a giant church, kind of like convent, was built over the entrance to this tunnel system that the Incans and all of the people of that region knew existed. These were built by giants. By the way, these weren't built, and this is something that I want to get out right now. In all of our studies of both the Aztec, the Maya, and the Inca, none of them claimed they built what they possessed. None of them.
Wow. Stephen, stay with us. We're going to take this break and come back and talk about these giants and more things that you've been working on. Incredible work, by the way. Just absolutely incredible. And why do they still keep that a secret, the giants a secret? We'll talk with Stephen Quayle about that as well. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, stevequayle.com. is DVDs, True Legends. Episode 1 is Technology of the Fallen. Episode 2, True Legends, is, as we just mentioned, The Unholy Sea. So we'll be back in a moment. Oh, by the way, we will open up the phone line so you can chat with Stephen next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us as we talk about just amazing things that you continue to uncover, Stephen. How do you find these stories?
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of them come off of response from people that listen to Coast and other radio programs that I'm on, and we're literally getting flooded right now with people from Eastern Europe, people from even China, Siberia, saying you've got to come here. We have evidence of giants, and we follow up the leads. And one of the things that's amazing, George, is there's a word I've got to share with people. It's called the Septuagint, and that's the Hebrew Bible translated into Greek. Now listen to this, okay? This is Isaiah 13. Lift up the standard on the mountains of the plain, exalt the voice of them, beckon with the hand, open the gates, ye rulers. I give command and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath, rejoicing at the same time and insulting. You know, we've talked a lot about stargates. It's becoming more prevalent and prominent. For instance, a good example is about maybe a month ago, NASA announced that there was Martian Morse code. Did you see that story?
Yes, I did.
Well, what's truly intriguing about that is when Tim and my film crew were down in Peru and Bolivia in the Altiplano, and the late David Flynn, who wrote Cydonia, The Secret Chronicle of Mars, put forth the fact that there is an actual language engraved into the landscape. And I've talked to scientists in the last couple months trying to get the deciphering going. Now, it's my contention that obviously NASA and the supercomputers have already deciphered the language of the fallen angels. And isn't it interesting that even the Incan priests had a way of tying knots called quipu and could tell the whole history of the fallen angels, the giants, and everything. So what I'm saying is, as I talk and we research this all over the world, people are talking about strange anomalies, strange phenomenon, stargates opening, everything from flying saucers, orbs, and things have changed, pun intended, in the atmosphere. Even tonight over Pennsylvania, a new strange meteor, and everything is not a meteor. The different colors indicate different compositions. So it's battle in outer space, battle on inner space, battle under the ground, and now things coming up on the ground. And, you know, when you ask me how we follow these leads, we're basically going out of the book of Genesis, chapter 6, talking about there were giants in those days before the flood and after those days, and people just don't get it. I mean, I cannot find, after 40 years, any place in the world that does not have its legends of giants and, you know, the fallen angels having sex with earth women, and it's all over. Now look at the genetic manipulation going on, and it's fascinating because this is the very same stuff that Francis Bacon talked about in 1626.
And the mixture, Stephen, of animal and human, to me, is absolutely bizarre, and it's going to get worse, isn't it?
It is going to get worse. When I wrote the book Genetic Armageddon, we announced that on your show 10 years ago and followed up with the latest book, Xenogenesis. It was so hard, George, for people to wrap their mind around the fact that the day would come when animal and human genetic material would be combined to literally bring back the mythological creatures that have so filled the pages of history. And that's why I use the title True Legends. Xenogenesis means a third set of DNA, interesting, three parent children, that's added into the mixture. And so what we're talking about in the New Atlantis isn't really the New Atlantis, it's the old Atlantis. And the very fact that this ancient technology, and including stargates. Now, most people can't even grasp that. They think it was just a series on TV and a great movie, which in my opinion was a great movie. But what's more important right now is all of the geophysical activity going on Earth. Obviously, we've got the volcanoes going off. I said 10, 12 years ago when you started with COAST. How long was that, 12 years, 14 years?
2003, full-time.
Okay, 2003, but you started 2002 part-time.
2001 part-time.
Okay, so that's 15 years ago, and I remember the first time I was on, we were talking about stuff that just people couldn't handle. Even the day would come when this sort of genetic manipulation would take place. Now, what is the number one drudge headline dealing with what the billionaires want? The billionaires basically want eternal life. They want life extension.
That's
you
right.
know, they want to go to the stars.
And bunkers.
And bunkers. Isn't that bunkers? Billionaires for bunkers. By the way, I used to be in that business years ago.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, as partners with a guy, we were building underground shelters, kind of like a spherical fiberglass structure. So I take specific interest in that. As a matter of fact, some gentleman sent me an email today saying that they have a giant, totally renewed bunker and wanted to know if I knew anybody that wanted to buy it. They only wanted $15 million for it.
That's all.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah.
But the thing is that there is a general feeling, and I talk to a lot of different people, George, I mean, all over the world, and people on their yachts are heading out. And what's really important we've got to get through tonight is the fact that we are at the most dangerous time now with the Russian and U.S. basically squaring off, diplomatic relations breaking off. And by the way, this all has to do with the same thing of fallen angels, because it is the plan to generate a World War III, and then bring on the man of peace, who the Bible refers to as the Antichrist.
Right. It is tense. I mean, I was a kid, Stephen, during the Cold War, and I remember that. I mean, I remember in school we had to do these bomb shelter drills and, you know, get under desks. I don't know what that was going to do to protect us, but they scared the living daylights out of us as kids, and it feels like it's getting even more tense than that.
Well, today, and let's just say this, you know, you've had Gary Haven on, and he produced the movie Amerigeddon, which I'd encourage everybody to get, okay? Amerigeddon. And it's a story about what's going on right now with the potential for an EMP. Even today, the talk behind the scenes, George, people are emailing military, former intelligence, et cetera, saying they are really concerned about that the North Korean satellites could, basically be detonated, and the EMP could be used in conjunction. Now, the Russians, I believe Vladimir Putin has done an amazing job. Now, let me clarify this, to try and warn the West how very dangerous it is, and yet almost with reckless abandonment, we have a State Department of Government who just, you know, proceeds full speed ahead. For instance, the Russian embassy obviously being attacked by freedom fighters or ISIS, who we back in Syria, and Russia knows exactly the provocation. So today, Russia basically put their bombers, and this is coming from insiders, they put their bombers into the old Cold War patterns where they'd fly right to the point where things would get hot and then pull them back. They put up their equivalent of looking glass, and looking glass is basically the airborne command system. So as you and I are talking, and everybody worldwide is listening, this thing with Russia and the United States is not decreasing. It's increasing in intensity. And again, I remember ducking under, I was like, you know, 1962, 64, I think was like 12 years old, and I remember ducking under, and I remember, you know, the civil defense panels, and let me make this clear, this is very important, 40 million people being moved into bunkers is not an exercise, it is a nuclear war deployment. I used to write about Russian war policy. Civil defense is an integral part of their whole plan, basically, not only to fight a nuclear war, if they have to, but to shelter their people. Moscow's population is 12 million, so they basically have pretty close to 3.3 times Moscow's population already moved, with 200,000, you know, emergency services, military personnel. And so this is not a light thing. This is not a light thing. In the Yamato Mountains, which is the underground control center for all of Russia, it's 400 square miles, by the way, underground. I don't think people can grasp that. 400 square miles.
And Syria could be the point where all of this implodes, Stephen.
Absolutely. And that's the critical issue. By the way, the Russians have moved their S-300 missiles into Syria,
yep,
into
right.
Tartarus, the port there, and that's one of the most sophisticated missiles. The only people that can be used for are the U.S. So, you know, if the National Security Council meets, whenever they meet in secret, and they decide, well, we're going to push this, then we're going to be in big trouble. This is something that is very critical. There are communications going on. And I noticed that you were talking about the satellites having issues.
Mm-hmm. GPS problems.
Yes, in a shooting war, the very first thing that is taken out is command, control, and communication, which the military calls C3. When I saw that story posted on the London Daily Mail, I thought, uh-oh, somebody's sending another message.
Mm-hmm.
And the message simply is this: we can blind your eyes in the skies. So, this is a very important series of events. And I've got a new word I'll break on tonight. You know, I believe that the mainstream media, which you know I'm not fond of, I call them vomit brokers, and I call them now the circus distracticus, okay? They distract the viewers of mainstream with what I would call inane stories about who's the newest TV star to have be robbed in France, or this or that, or who's marrying who, getting divorced. It's all distraction. Right now we have major issues that can turn hostile, and like going back to Armageddon. You know, we're seeing reports of UN troops, and this is something people have got to understand. We are seeing our country ultimately brought under United Nations control. The idea, and you and I talked about this on Coast to Coast.
And we've given up the internet.
We've given up the internet, and the United Nations will ultimately take over the entire police force and sheriff's department in the United States. That's the end game, and that's why all the racial tension and strife is being generated. And I've asked the question, I propose it. You know, I think these shooters, it doesn't matter who, need to have background checks, and they always seem to disappear, whether it's a law enforcement or a false flag shooter. It's always multiple reports, meaning in the false flags there are multiple shooters seen, and then it all boils down to one crazy guy who's got a bad attitude, okay? So the thing is that, same thing in the police department. I've warned law enforcement for years. I was told this by a former spy who's dead now, that they would introduce, they being the people that wanted civil war in this country, they would introduce very evil men into police departments to stir up the masses. So I'm really trying to speak out and pray that, you know, God will open the eyes of people to see that this is a setup. Because when the case is made that local law enforcement or sheriff's department or highway patrol can no longer contain a situation, well, then they bring the military. But if the military is out of country, as they're being dispersed all over the country, our military, guess who's here? United Nations.
That's right. It's a disaster if that happens.
Well, and I believe that this is where we're at. We're in a very dangerous situation. I'd encourage people to pay attention to what's going on between the, and watch the Russian statements. I've learned one thing about Russians. I've dealt with enough of them, interviewed them, to know they say what they mean and mean what they say. And they're not like the United States, which tries to bluff its way through foreign policy. They will respond. And already, President Putin Putin, I think, has demonstrated more than a half a dozen times that Russia's electronic warfare weapons are more than capable of disabling, you and the Navy, the most expensive Navy missile cruisers like the Donald Cook and others just with their electronic warfare capabilities. So we're in a very, very serious and precarious position right now.
There's something going on, Stephen. You feel it. I feel it. People feel it all over the place. There's a tension. There's an underlying tension of something, and people just can't put their fingers on it.
Well, I think that we're watching right now the Illuminus, the global plot and plan to start World War III. Because, okay, in the world of Islamic prophecy, the Muslim equivalent of their Messiah will only come back after nuclear conflagration. We're watching, if you will, the mark of the beast, the war on cash. You know, every day cash is bad. Take the mark, you know. You won't be able to buy rent, sell, or trade. That's right out of the Book of Revelation.
Let's get you all chipped. Get everybody chipped.
You got it. And so now we're watching, if you will, all of the revelations that Snowden worried about and he told us about. You know, it's interesting. The only people that call him a traitor are the ones behind the total information control of us wanting to know everything we think, do, and say, and plot our every move. And if you don't basically toe the line, it's goodbye, Charlie, you know? And this is what, it's happening so fast, George, and you said something. Everybody is sensing, if you will, a film of darkness. That's the only way I can say it. It's like soot, but that soot is settling over all the country. It's not the same country. Somebody once said, well, the blue skies don't even look blue anymore. I said, well, that's because they're so chemtrailed. And how long has it taken for the average person to come to grips with chemtrails?
I know, and they're just starting to talk about that now. Of course, people have listened to you, listened to my show. They know. They've known for years what's going on. But now the outside folks are beginning to realize something's going on. I find that fascinating.
Well, and the evidence is a preponderance of evidence, and we get into normalcy bias. We get into a convenience mindset where we can only handle that which is familiar. The minute something unfamiliar or something out of our context of control, that's when people lose it. I think what Gerald Celente said is so important. When people have nothing left to lose, they lose it. That's probably one of the most brilliant statements ever made.
Good point. Stephen, we've got a couple minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to talk more next hour, take some phone calls as well. I do want to ask you about a planetary thing. Just a few days ago, here in California, they have warned everybody to be on guard for a major earthquake. It has now lapsed today. Today was the last day, but something's happening there.
Yeah, I don't believe their warning to stand down is valid. And I'll tell you why. We're dealing with the perturbations of a planetary body, whether it's Nibiru, the ninth planet, tenth planet, Gabriel's fist, Lucifer's hammer, call it whatever you want, okay? But obviously the ancients knew it came around every so many thousand years, and we're right at that time. The idyllic thinking of most people in the world is that surely the governments would tell us, well, you and I believe and know that's wrong. I think the clearest sign of it, George, is all the volcanism going off, whether it's Kolyma, whether it's Kolesovskoy, every place from the Kamchatka Peninsula to Kilauea in Hawaii to all of the different Philippine volcanoes, Indonesian. The one I want people to really watch is the other day there were a bunch of swarming earthquakes off the Canary Islands. Well, that's the worst place because that's Cumbre Vieja, and when that volcanic, if you will, mountain slides into the sea, there are National Geographic specials you can watch on YouTube of an 1,800-foot tsunami coming against the East Coast. And Katla, the volcano, Iceland called a special meeting of all their geophysicists and everything to try and get a handle on it. Katla sits on top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. If people want to look this up. And off of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, obviously you're dealing with the Canary Islands, and you're dealing with events in in history that will be overwhelming. And so we've got, I would say this, we have a confluence of events never recorded as taking place simultaneously. It doesn't matter if you look east, west, north, or south, something's happening everywhere, and it's all coming to a head. And I think that's the sense that's unnerving most people. You used to be able to put this into some kind of context of a sequential, A had to happen, B would follow, then C, D through the rest of the alphabet. Now they dump the whole alphabet of events taking place, and it's simply overwhelming.
They do sense it. Stephen, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take phone calls as we continue chatting about Steve's work.